Hey everyone, Josh here. Quick question for you. Do you like coffee? Even more important question, do you like fresh coffee? Coffee that's roasted to order and doesn't taste like the bottom of your kitchen oven? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then you need to head over to MaquanoCoffee.com and get yourself some of the best coffee there is to get. Whether you like the light roast or the dark roast, or you're feeling a little whimsical and you want to get that sample pack, Maquano Coffee Roasters has everything you need. And just when you thought this couldn't get any sweeter, make sure to use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. Do yourself a favor and stop drinking bad coffee, because you know what? Life's too short for that. Head on over to MaquanoCoffee.com and use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. You will not regret it. Thanks, and now on to the show.
What do you got for me?
What's wrong with you people?
I got nothing for you.
What's wrong?
Benediction right there. That was so good.
What's going on, everyone, and welcome to The Reformatory, the podcast for the local church and by the local church, and we are your local churchmen. My name is Josh, and I'm here, as always, with the man that needeth no introduction. The one, the only, the freshly shorn Captain Jack. Dude, you're looking fine and fresh.
Yeah, that's what you get when you go, you know, get a haircut.
And, yeah, man.
You know,
got them ears lowered. Looks good. Got the beard shaped too. Ooh,
yeah.
Now we're talking. Out of way. Never halfway, Jack. No half measures with you. You are all in. It's like I think it's the vet in you, dude. Like, we're either invading or we're not.
Okay.
You know, like, I'm not putting one foot in. We're either taking over or I'm not going at all. That's something I've always liked about
man.
You.
Okay, there's a funny story. So apparently my wife did not know this. Mm. I swear I could have told her. Mm. She's like, wait a minute. When you were in the army, did you drive a tank? And I'm like, I learned to drive a tank. So yes, I can drive an Abrams, you know, A1 Abrams tank.
If he had to, ladies and gentlemen.
If the zombie apocalypse went down.
Yeah, that's right. If Red Dawn happens and the Russians paratroop into like Iowa or wherever.
Oh my gosh. Colorado.
Yeah.
Or
it was
something.
Colorado. Yeah. The Colorado.
I think it was
Wolverines,
Colorado. Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's such a good movie.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think I got that going for me. Okay.
You do.
So here's one thing. So I had to go to a different barbershop than I usually go to.
Mm.
And we were, you know, the gal who's cut my hair, you know, we were talking and stuff like that. And military came up. I didn't even have to pull the vet card out. She gave me the discount.
Let's go.
On the back end.
Let's go. See, dude, she wants business. Like, that's how you keep business. I'm just saying, though.
Yeah.
That's dangerous because barber poaching is a real thing.
Barber poaching?
Dude, poaching and a clientele, man. I'm telling you.
That's true.
I'm telling you. And hey,
yeah.
You're going to start throwing discounts at me. We're at least going to talk. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah. Jack, my friend. There's a lot to talk about today.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a melancholy up. But before we hop into it, all right, we're going to keep spirits high. Why don't you please give us this week's Cigar of the Week. What do you got for us?
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we have talked about this last week. We're going to go with the fact that June is for Jalapa, mm-hmm. meaning that the cigars that we will be featuring have Jalapa tobacco from the Jalapa Valley in Nicaragua. So we're kind of going back to now typical fare, I think, with what Josh and I are used to.
Mm-hmm.
So this cigar is by Foundation Cigar for this week. It is called the Oxum. It was originally called the Metapa.
Mm.
And it had some stuff go on, and Nick Melillo, the founder of Foundation, he renamed it the Oxum Cigar, or the Oxum. Yeah. Anyway, he renamed it from Metapa to Oxum. It refers to the Oxumite kingdom that's in Ethiopia. And the legend is that this, the Ark of the Covenant was brought to Oxum by Melanick, which is also a cigar by Foundation, who is King Solomon, who is the son of King Solomon and Queen of Sheba, apparently. There's a lot of Bible stuff going on with Foundation these days. So,
yeah, wow. And we've got The Chosen on Disney Plus now. So it's all,
oh my gosh,
it's all over the place.
It's all coming together. So anyway, Oxum is, comes in two different, it comes in a Maduro and a Claro version. That Maduro is going to be a little bit darker, a little bit earthier. That Claro is going to have some hay to it. It's going to have a little bit more kind of grass. But the blend is this. The wrapper is Ecuadorian Sumatran. And then the binder is Connecticut Broadleaf. Mm. And then your fillers are going to be that Jalapa tobacco and tobaccos from Esteli.
Nice. So
this is a cigar made by AJ Fernandez.
Okay.
People should know that name at least. Okay. Josh.
Yeah.
So a lot of, you got a lot of stuff going on. It's going to be anywhere from medium to a little bit more on the stronger side.
Okay.
As far as strength goes of the tobacco. And like mm-hmm. I said, you're going to have some coffee flavors. You're going to have a little bit of some hay, depending upon if you go with the Claro or the Maduro. Mm-hmm. You're going to have kind of some chocolatey, dark chocolatey kind of flavors as well, too.
Yep.
Josh, as always, mm-hmm. sir, what is your MSRP for I'm going with all different, four different sizes. So we're going to go. Okay. It is a soft pressed. It's a soft press, kind of a little bit of a Brox press going on here too.
Okay.
So it's from Robusto all the way from Corona Gorda, Toro, Double Corona. What do you got on MSRP? We've talked about this before.
I'm gonna do what I think an average is.
Okay.
I'm gonna give it a 1375.
It's a little bit higher than that. You're close.
Okay.
It's all right. MSRP anywhere between, I would say, $15 to $18. So it's a little bit more on the higher end.
A little bit more on the bougie side. Okay. I was trying to yeah. keep it in the realm of the everyday, but no, probably not. That's going to be more of a special event cigar. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a little bit more juice for the squeeze, but mm-hmm. honestly, with what Foundation gives out on any kind of cigar from their production line, I think it's yeah. worth it. So, anyways,
oh yeah, Foundation.
That is the Oxum. It comes in Robusto. So we're going all four different sizings. So we're gonna go with. So this is recommended for, you can either start out with Robusto, Corona mm-hmm. Gorda, a Toro, a Double Corona, and I think that is it. So
okay.
check out the Maduro and the Claro sizes. Maduro is going to be a little bit more stronger. The Claro is going to get you that little bit medium, more tasting notes. But there it is, the Oxum from Foundation Cigars, people.
Well done. Well done, as always, Jack. Thank you for bringing your A-game, as always, to the Cigar Review of the Week. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the Reformatory Cigar of the Week, and you know what to do. Go and smoke to the glory of God. All right, Jack. So we've got a question that was posed by one of our patrons, Chris Haller, And it's in regards to the news that as of the time of this recording just dropped today regarding pastor, Dr. Tony Evans. He's the pastor or I should say was the pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas. He's served as the Dallas Cowboys chaplain for a number of years, and I think the Mavericks as well. And news dropped today that Tony, Dr. Evans, is stepping down from the senior pastor position there at his local church due to behavior that he says was not in line with Scripture. Said it was nothing criminal, but it was enough for him to step down and go through a forgiveness, reconciliation, and restoration process as dictated by his elders of the church. That's all the info that was given. So, we don't have any more info than that. And frankly, we're not owed any more info than that. Right. I think we forget at times that if, just because someone's a public figure, right, doesn't always mean that everything needs to be exposed. Now, obviously, if there's disqualifying stuff, if there's criminal behavior, then yeah, right. That's not a blanket statement. But some things, in terms of discipline within the church, if the process and the goal is restoration, I don't need every detail of that, right? But the questions always, when we see stuff like this, right, and we can think back to the whole thing that went on with Matt Chandler as well, multiple things with Matt Chandler, the whole, private messaging between him and, another individual in his church that apparently got out of hand and required him to go on sabbatical as well, and now he's, back in the pulpit preaching and things of that sort. It begs the question, Jack, what do we do as Christians with the resources, the sermons, the books, the podcasts, right? Basically the body of work from individuals that have disqualified themselves. Now, again, I am not saying that Tony Evans has disqualified himself, all right? I don't know this. I don't know the situation. I don't know the details. They're not for me to know. You're right. And if the details do come out, then that's something that, can be judged at that point. Right. But this is not me saying that Dr. Evans has disqualified himself from ministry just because those details aren't known to us. His elders have not deemed it so, it seems. So I'm going to trust that until I know something more. Right. It is a good question because there have been. We've seen this pop up where, pastors, I won't even just limit it to pastors. Like I'll put like bands, music groups, right.
Yeah.
That have started out and had such an influence for the gospel. And then 20 years later apostatize. Right. I can think of two major ones off the top of my head. One group, Jars of Clay was huge in the 90s and early 2000s. Massive. One of the biggest Christian bands that existed. And now the vast majority, if not all of them are, at pride parades and things like that. Right. Another one for me, and this one actually hurts even more, is a guy named Kevin Max. He was one of the singers of DC Talk, went solo, one of my favorite Christian artists. I think he has an amazing voice, and apostatized, just a couple of years ago during COVID, right? And it begs the question, what do we do with that kind of stuff, right? Because if we believe our theology, Jack, and we believe that once saved, always saved. Salvation isn't something that you come in and out of, right?
Yeah.
We have to, I think, in a lot of these cases, put this into the realm of, they were very possibly never of us. If they are now claiming to deny the gospel and say that they do not believe it, they reject Christianity as the true, the only true religion, and they reject Christ as the only means of salvation.
Yeah.
what do we do with that kind of stuff? So that, you know, that's kind of the question, right? Because,
yeah,
you know, you can fill in the gap with as many disqualified pastors as you can think of that have put out some resources and some things that are actually pretty beneficial and pretty good. So, Jack, I'm going to throw it over to you first, man. Is this a don't worry about it, use all the resources? Is this a don't ever use resources from anyone who has disqualified themselves at any point? Or is this somewhere in the middle where it's a conscience issue? I want to throw it to you first and hear your thoughts.
Yeah, Josh and I were talking about this offline before we started the episode. I would say some of this has to do with the conscience. Some of this has to do with the means in which certain things have gone down. So, for instance, you know, I can think of a couple very older, now gone theologians. I think this first started to come up. Trying to remember specifically, but there is a huge debate about this. Should we use former pastors and theologians who own slaves? Should we still use their material?
Sure.
So I remember this at least 10 years ago or more, right, with that kind of idea coming up. Like, they never repented of this. This was always a part of who they were. They never seemed to have repented or anything along those lines. So I think the first instance came up of that. Mm-hmm. And so for that, like, I think for me, honestly, like, if you own slaves, like, and have never repented of that, like, I think that at least in my conscience, like, I'm most likely I'm not going to read your stuff anymore. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a conscience issue, like I said, too. But
sure.
Yeah, that's a huge thing. I think the other thing for the modern day, I think our modern day kind of version of this, I'm not going to say they're a one for one equivalent, but the modern day version of this is basically they disqualified themselves out of the ministry because of sexual behavior that was not in line with the gospel, not in line with biblical marriage, not in line with anything that is taught in the church. And so, you know, we can see this in a couple different ways, like Art Azurdia, who disqualified himself, had several different relationships outside of marriage and still wants to come back into some form of leadership role in ministry. You can see this across the board, I think, with what pretty much every denomination in North America is dealing with right now, with guys who have been convicted of molestation, pedophilia, you know, the list goes on, and they've done that, but somehow churches are letting them back in to ministry because, I don't know, it's a shortage of ministers. But I think the biggest thing comes down to is that if you've disqualified yourself out of ministry, I think that's pretty much a kind of, you're starting on the slope of people should not use your resources to a certain extent. You know, there was it's kind of singed into my mind, but Art Azurdia was kind of a a part-time faculty member at the seminary that I went to here in the Northwest.
Yep.
And when word got out of this, it was very much damaging to a lot of people, because he said a lot of strong things in classes. He said a lot of stuff when it came to hypocrisy, when it came to stuff along the lines of doing one thing, saying the other, and then he literally does not practice what he preaches. Right.
You know the relationship I have with Art, right?
Yes.
Or I had. Yeah. And you're 100% right. Like, that wrecked my world.
It wrecked a lot of people's worlds.
It really
primarily because a lot of people did not suspect. I mean, but yet again too, like, that just, like, don't put it past somebody to commit stuff that'll just wreck their entire ministry and lives.
Yep. We can't put people on pedestals and thrones that are only meant for Christ.
Yeah.
We just, because they will fail.
Yeah. And so it's very, and so this goes back to the fact of, have they been disqualified out of a ministry, or have they, and it's even too with like, you know, there's certain other people around big Eva, you know, evangelicalism, where they have switched theological positions. So I know for a very long time, I can't remember his name specifically. It's like the Bible Answer Man was like,
Hank Hanegraaff.
Yeah. Hank Hanegraaff. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So he went from evangelical to Eastern Orthodox.
He did. I remember that shift. Yeah.
So what do you do with all those episodes now that he talked about when he was evangelical and he now switched over to Eastern Orthodoxy?
Right.
So there's stuff even like that where people, you know, they swim, you know, they cross the Tiber, they go over to Catholicism
or they apostatize, like it's straight up apostasy, right?
Yeah, pretty much. And so that's those are difficult things. But I would say a biggest thing, if they have apostatized or if they have absolutely disqualified themselves out of ministry, I think that is a big, there's more of a leaning for me to say, you know what, that makes me question where their heart was at during their entire ministry too.
Yeah.
You know, in the case of art, it was hard for me to even go forward with any kind of more material that he had,
right?
Primarily because the details of his adultery, were, it spanned years and you didn't tell anybody. So, you know, there's stuff like that where I'm just like, you know, I don't think I can go forward with his material, any of his books, any of that kind of thing. And for somebody who apostatizes, I think we don't talk about this when stuff like this happens, where pastors disqualify themselves from ministry or people apostatize. I think we don't take the time to recognize how much, I think, grieving to a certain extent, Christians should have for that person.
Oh yeah.
To make those decisions like that. To think that your local church, like, depending upon where people apostatize from, if it's just very logical reasoning and it's just like, I can't get behind that logic, or if it's very much like, I don't feel like my church, you know, I don't feel like there's gospel doctrine and gospel culture in my church, thus I'm out.
Right.
Like, for a person to make these decisions and to either sweep this under the rug and not tell anybody in their local church, or negate the fact that your local church plays a very pivotal, central part of your life as a believer.
Yeah.
I think that's even more damaging.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure it is. Yeah.
I mean, there's stuff that has gone on in my local church. It's very tough. I'm not going to go into details, but it's very tough to deal with certain things that people have done. And they've left the church over, and they've gone under church. I mean, our pastors have been very stern. Like, this is the way forward. If stuff is not reciprocated, like, we will say that they are not a believer.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Stuff along those lines.
Yeah.
It's just very difficult to deal with. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that, when we have these conversations, we don't think about the aspect of grief or lament over that as much as we do. Like, I think a lot of these times we treat it as like a PR,
you know,
a PR nightmare or something like that, which is like really bad to think about in the local church.
Yeah. But I mean, it's both, right? In that we should have grief, but it is a black eye, especially when we have figures that are so prominent within our culture and are so well known, right? And again, that's one of the problems that I have with celebrity pastors.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the only problem I have, but it's one of them, is because when you fall, as a celebrity pastor, you are a cultural ambassador to Christianity, right? Might not be true Christianity, but it's what the world thinks Christianity is, right? So we see all of these mega church pastors cheating on their wives, embezzling, all right, things of this sort, you know, conning their congregation out of a new jet, mm-hmm. right? And these are all things that are public and loud and flashy and stick in people's heads as to what Christianity is, right? And you see that so much in the PNW here.
Yeah.
So much of people's exposure out here to Christianity is just that. It's the mega church pastors and televangelists, right? Just getting someone to understand that Christianity is something more than just asking about money is hard, right?
Yeah.
And it's one of these things, Jack, where like it's such a, you're 100% right in that it's such a horrible situation to find one in, because like, okay, I mean, we keep bringing him up, but take Art. I was friends with Art. Art, mm-hmm. Art baptized me. I was, I believe, saved under Art's preaching. The Lord used Art and his preaching of the gospel, the unadulterated true gospel, to break me. I remember the day I was at a Bible camp and him and my dad were preaching together at the Bible camp, and Art preached the sermon. And I remember the question he asked. He said, you know, he went through the gospel and says, I believe I am a sinner damned to hell without Christ. Do you? I believe Christ is my only hope for salvation. Do you? And I broke, right? And the Lord used Art to show me my need for Christ, mm-hmm. right? And I'll 100% admit to you, it is a current question that I have now. How can someone preach so passionately about the gospel to the point where it's wrecking, you know, this 15-year-old kid, right? Coming mm-hmm. to grips with his sin for the first time, coming to understand what grace truly means for the first time. And then, but years later, it all comes out that during that time, the time that he's preaching the gospel to me, he's having affairs.
Yeah.
Right? That blows my mind. And it doesn't blow my mind in the way that, oh, I don't understand how he could do that. Like because I understand that I am just as capable. It's not a how could he do this kind of thing. It's so horrible that mm-hmm. it shakes me, because I know that without Christ, I could do the exact same thing, yeah. right? There, you know, but by the grace of God, there go I. It's yeah. not a shock as to like, I can't believe he's done this, because I could do it just as easy. Sure. And it floors me how passionate one can be outwardly while inwardly denying the very thing that they're preaching. And Jack, it was that's where it's hard for me to, I think I'll fully admit, I think in the vast majority of cases, I believe you're right. It's hard for me to get there.
Yeah, sure.
It really is. It's really hard for me to get there, even though I believe, like I said, in the vast majority of cases, you're right. But I still want to leave room for common grace, you know, for grace to be a thing, right? Because people can say true things, because common grace is real, mm-hmm. and God can still use, I believe, dead people to make dead people alive, because it's not the person that's doing it. It's the truth. It's the proclamation of the gospel, right? It's the Holy Spirit taking the word that will never return void and applying it to the heart so that it will grow, right? So I think of somebody like, I believe he was saved, but I think of somebody like Martin Luther, right? Mm-hmm. The great reformer. God used him in amazing, incredible ways, right? he would, I do not believe, would be qualified to be a pastor. I believe he had many issues that would disqualify him from the office of pastor, right? Let's just take his anger, right? Sure. He's known throughout history for his anger. That's not something a pastor should be known for, right?
Yeah.
Now, but God still used him, right? And I still look at the life of Martin Luther with all the scruples and all the sin and all the things there, and I see what the Lord did in his faithfulness, right? The people that you're talking about, guys that own slaves, like it's horrible. It's a sin, right? I don't fall into the, well, it was just the sin of the time and they really didn't know what they were doing. Charles Spurgeon knew. Charles Spurgeon got his writings banned in America because he spoke out against slavery, right? So it's not a matter of ignorance, I do not believe, right? We can't claim ignorance for our sin when we stand before the judge. We all know this, right? But did they still contribute to the sake of the kingdom, the sake of the gospel? Yes, they did. And that's the hard part for me is, how do I interact with the resources of individuals that might maybe have not even disqualified themselves? Because where I do agree with you, I think, Jack, is if you have somebody that has disqualified themselves from ministry, I'm going to have a very hard time utilizing those resources for myself.
Yeah.
And I will definitely not recommend them. Right. And I think that's part of the conversation too, is I do think this is something Jack and I were talking about before the episode. I do think that there's a difference between having the discernment to utilize the resources personally, chew the meat, spit out the bones, versus recommending the individual to other people. Right. Hmm. Because I'm able, like, let's take the book written by Mark Driscoll on doctrine. Let's take Mark's doctrine book, right? I believe that I have the ability to take that book, read it, glean from it the things that are true, and deny and reject the things that are whack, right? Mm-hmm. I believe I have the ability to do that, and I think I could do that with a clear conscience, right? I will never recommend any Mark Driscoll resource to anybody ever. I'm not going to do that. Right. Yeah. And I can hold those two things as simultaneously true. Right.
Sure.
And whether that be the stance that I take with, you know, Tony Evans at this point, because again, I don't know the details of what's making him step down. Right. Mm-hmm. That's yet to be seen. But, you know, someone like Art, who the sin was so blatant and so disqualifying, right? And then there is an attempt to get back into the scene. It makes me quite, like, do you understand what the standard of scripture is, right? Like, take someone like Carl Lentz, right? The Hillsong guy, right?
Yep.
Same deal. He's trying to get back into it now too, right? I just shared something on Twitter the other day about him, like, trying to say, like, I'm not a disgraced pastor. Like, I didn't fall from grace. I fell into grace. It's like, oh, okay. Sure, there is forgiveness and reconciliation for the sinner. Praise the Lord, yes and amen. But that does not mean restoration looks the same.
Yeah.
Right? And that's the crux of it, I think, is can you utilize the resources from those that have disqualified themselves? Yes, you can. Should you recommend them? I don't think you should. And you also, while utilizing those resources, a question that I try to ask myself is, can I get this resource somewhere else from a place of, I would say, a place of wholeness that hasn't disqualified themselves?
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, I think at the end of the day, I do believe it is a conscience issue. And every person is going to have to kind of decide for themselves how far they're willing to utilize a resource from someone that has disqualified themselves or even, you know, has many scruples, right? Mm. Because, like, again, let's look at Martin Luther. So many scruples, so many issues, but we still use his resources, right? You know, in 200 years, what will people say about Art? Right?
Yeah.
What will people say about Tony Evans? What will people say about, you know, the Mark Driscolls? Right. I don't know. I don't know. And people had to make the same decision with Martin Luther in his day that we're having to with people like, you know, that we're talking about. So,
yeah,
I think it's a conscience issue, but I do agree with you that if disqualification has happened, Jack, I have a very difficult time utilizing those resources myself, just because I know that they were never coming from a place of truth, even though what they might be saying is true. It's really hard for me. And I will definitely never recommend them.
Yeah. It even goes into probably another episode that we're probably going to talk about, which is, you know, the third commandment and using the Lord's name in vain too,
which
is not typically what people, I think that gets misused a ton, but it does play into kind of what hopefully we'll talk about maybe next week with that topic. But yeah, it's just, me not using somebody's resource is not a way to like gloat not use their stuff. It's more like, hey, it's like you got to weigh out your witness as a believer and what you use. And the tools that you use and the people that you use in order to, you know, strengthen your faith and kind of steer you in the right direction as far as doctrine goes, right? Doctrine and practice. But yeah, it's not something as easy as this person did this, thus done, game over.
Right.
There's just a lot of minutia to it.
Yeah.
But I feel like you should take the time when somebody does some stuff that is disqualifying, whether that be a sin issue or an apostasy issue. I don't think there's enough lament and grief that we take the time to do with that individual.
Yeah.
But you know, there's another aspect to this that I think ties us back into the local church, which is, you know, your pastors, as the members of your local church, are sinners. But the distinguishing thing between somebody who has disqualified themselves and somebody who is a pastor who sins but is forgiven of their sins because they are in ministry is the fact that they go to the members of their church and they are a person of transparency and integrity and one who confesses. That is a big difference. There is a big difference between somebody who commits adultery and hides it from their church and basically is disqualifying themselves versus somebody who I think may have lost their temper one time at like a church picnic or something like that. There's a big difference between those two different sins, absolutely, so to say. Right.
Yeah.
So just remember, like, your pastors, like, they struggle too in different ways.
Yeah.
Believe me. And that should not negate you from not showing them grace as well too.
Yep.
But absolutely, I think you also have to be stringent on the fact that the Bible gives us definitions of what it means for somebody to be disqualified out of ministry. And, I've seen it happen too, to where, and I think Tony Evans is doing this with his local church, which I kind of applaud, where he is going under restoration with his church while he's attending.
Yep.
Which a lot of people don't do that.
No. Some people flee that and plant a church in Arizona.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Which I commend him for actually staying and being under. I don't think I saw that with Chandler when he was going through his discipline process. I felt like his discipline, there was a certain way in which his discipline process just felt like, you just need to go over there in timeout and then just keep doing what you're doing, but just over there in timeout.
Yeah.
Versus when you're under church discipline, like, you should be under church discipline. Let's be honest about this. Like, you're not doing the things that you were doing before. and masking around like everything's still okay. I'm just over here in timeout and I can't do this because I'm on a time delay or something like that. Sure. Or I'm on a pitch clock. So that's the hardest part about these things is that I think our modern day and how we approach them is very corporate like versus, you know, yet again, I think what Tony Evans's church is doing is a little bit more towards, okay, you're on the right track of how to discipline and restore somebody, but also how that person reciprocates and knows that they need the local church in their life in order to be restored.
Yeah. Well, and look, well, yeah, 100%. Right. And I think that's a good, I think that's a good place to kind of land the ship is that, you know, regardless of whether or not Tony comes back to the pastorate, he is engaging with this correctly. Mm-hmm. He's doing it with his elders and with the membership of his church. His church knows what's going on. His elders know what's going on. Mm-hmm. And they are working with him and he is submitting to them. I applaud that. I do. I applaud that, you know, and that's something that I wish we would see more, right? Because, you know, where I want to land this is, you know, regardless of things, regardless of ways that you have fallen and failed, there is always forgiveness to be found in the gospel of Christ. Mm. Always.
Yeah.
Grace is always a reality. You will never, ever out-sin the grace of God. You can't sin so much that the cup of grace stops overflowing. Mm-hmm. Now, that does not mean that there are not consequences.
Exactly.
Right? That does not mean that you will be restored to the same place or position that you were before you sinned. Mm-hmm. There are standards in Scripture for a reason, right? And by the grace of God, we stand in those qualifications. And we stand by nothing else other than the grace of God, right? There are standards for a reason. But that does not mean that you cannot still, after forgiveness has been given, restoration has been made, reconciliation has happened, that you cannot be an effective member of that local church and continue to serve Christ and his body in the ways that God, the ways that God has given you to do that. Now, that might not be in leadership anymore.
Yeah.
Right. But something that I wish, again, going back just because it's so personal, something I wish Art would have gotten, because at least at this point, again, I haven't thought about Art for a while, but at this point, I believe that, you know, things weren't handled well in terms of how the thing was reconciled, right? Just because your position and the way that you serve may look different now because of the consequences of your sin does not mean that you are now useless for the kingdom, right? And I think so many men are in love with the position instead of the service.
Yep.
Right? Mm-hmm. They're in love with the position that they have instead of the purpose that they have.
Yeah.
And the purpose that they have is to glorify God through the service of their church and the proclamation of the gospel. You can do that without a position.
Yep.
So many people do faithfully. The vast majority of Christians do faithfully.
Yep.
Right? But we got to make sure that we are not so in love with the position that we forget the purpose that God has given us. Because your purpose is fulfilled regardless. Wherever God has you, your purpose remains the same ultimately, right? So there's always forgiveness to be found in the gospel of Christ. But we have to make sure that our pride does not get in the way of allowing that process to happen. So, Jack, I think there's a lot more that could be said about this topic, but hopefully that at least spurs some good conversations and some thinking for some people regarding how to kind of interact with things like this. Jack, my friend, why don't you get us out of here?
Yeah. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, if you appreciate Josh and I's attempts at very solemn topics like this that affect our local churches. And believe me, there have been pastors in certain networks that I've been a part of that have been disqualified because of certain things. And it's tough. It is never easy. But if you have additional follow-up questions for us, if you want to DM us about certain things, episode ideas, anything along those lines, you can find us at the sociables, if you will. Yes, the metaverse, the Facebook, the Instagram goes well with chocolate and marshmallow. The sociable formerly known as Twitter X. You can find us all at those sociables at the tag at Reformatory Pod. Like I said, you can drop us a direct message about episode ideas, follow-up questions you might have about this episode in a different way. Josh, you can tell the people how they might support us and look for our content on other platforms, if you will, sir.
That's right. Well, if you would like to watch this episode at the same time you're listening to it, you can head on over to YouTube. We have a YouTube channel. Just search for the Reformatory Podcast on there. Like, comment, subscribe, hit the little bell for notifications. Share this episode with a friend. We'd really, really appreciate that. You can give us a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts. And last but not least, we have a Patreon. All access, the podluck, we call it. And in that Patreon, you get bonus episodes. You get this episode early. We have the Reformatory chat on there. It's a lot of fun. We enjoy doing that kind of stuff. Jack and I just found out that you can live stream from our service here. That's an update.
Yep.
We're gonna contemplate some live streams. That kind of sounds fun, yep. Dude. Yep. That sounds a lot of fun. And all of that can be yours. All of that and more can be yours for $5 a month. That's cheaper than Starbucks coffee. Believe me, I just bought my wife Starbucks and it was over $5 and I about threw a fit. But I love my wife. I love my wife. All right. No, in all honesty, she threw a bigger fit than I did. She saw the title. She saw the total. She's like, I'm never coming back here. I'm never shopping at Starbucks again. So if you're like my wife and you have a $5 a month burning in your pocket, maybe send that over to the Reformatory. Support our goal here to make the local church central in the life of the believer and get some pretty cool perks along the way. And if you choose to do so, our pledge to you is that your name shall be hallowed.
Hallowed, sir. Hallowed.
Hallowed through the halls of the podcast. That is our pledge to you. We thank you all for listening, and we will catch you on the next step of the Reformatory.